Johnson still has another foul to give here. Owusu, left of her basket for Penn State. Looking. First two options aren't there. Tried to throw it down deep. That's going to be a foul or a tie-up. Foul called. It's on Schrammick. Schrammick's done. That's five personal fouls. She fouls out. Douglas is going to come in. 14.6 seconds remaining. Wisconsin up by five. Schrammick's going to get a nice applause here. Great effort by the Badger senior. Finishes with 4 points, three rebounds. Hard-fought minutes, though. So, now it's going to be bonus the rest of the way for Penn State, but they inbound it here. 12 seconds, Wisconsin up by five. Owusu trying to go up against Douglas. She goes up, baskets in, 9 seconds. Coach Moses is going to call her last timeout. So Wisconsin up 67-64 with 9 seconds remaining. The key here, clean inbound. That's not been guaranteed in this fourth quarter. Get a clean inbound. Make your foul shots. You're going to get out of here with a win. Coming up during the post game, Wisconsin's victorious. We'll hope to have one of the players. Also talk with assistant coach Jamie Glusing. Wisconsin really 9 seconds away from what feels like a really program-defining win. Wisconsin beat Penn State here in 2022, but this Penn State team's having their best season in 10 years. And this is one of those that you'll look back at and really remember if Wisconsin can finish this thing off. This would be Wisconsin's fourth conference win of the season. And just potentially hope this flips a switch a little bit for these Badgers. They've lost their last two. 9 seconds exactly left on the clock. 67-64 Wisconsin. Bucky going crazy. Got some youngsters up on the Jumbotron with the pink pom-poms. Here we go. It's all about the inbounds. Get fouled. Make your free throws. Wisconsin up by three. 9 seconds. Wisconsin inbound at four-court far sideline. Leitzinger to do the honors. Jimenez, Williams, Douglas, and Ronnie Porter for Wisconsin. First option not there for Leitzinger. Second option gets it into Ronnie Porter. She'll just wait. She's going to not get fouled. They're going to let time go. 5 seconds. Now they call a jump ball. Possession arrow stays to Wisconsin. That wasn't a foul. Wow, they didn't foul Porter. They tried to trap her. 5.2 on the clock. Jump ball, and thankfully, possession arrow to Wisconsin. That was almost a disaster. Now you can't have a jump ball. Leitzinger again. They're not even going to play the Leitzinger to toss it in. They're just going to try and guard. There they go. They get it to Jimenez. She's going to get fouled with 3.8. The Badger freshman going to the free throw line. She's a 75% free throw shooter. And the heartbeat's got to be pumping here for Deanna Jimenez. Wipes off her hands on her pants, and she's already up there at the free throw line. I give these Badgers credit. Williams, Jimenez, they're going right to the free throw line. They're not holding back and waiting. They confidently get up there, start eyeing the rim, and get ready for their moment. Two guaranteed shots here. 67-64, Wisconsin up by three. This to try and make it a two-possession game with 3.8 remaining. Jimenez, the freshman, spins the ball in her hands. Right-handed shot is good. It hit the rim left side, then the backboard, and it goes. Shooters roll. Flashing those pearly whites, Jimenez, with a big smile. Second free throw would make it five. You've got your four-point lead, though, with 3.8. So as long as Wisconsin doesn't foul, they should win this game. Here's Jimenez. Second one is up, and it's good again. Five-point lead for Wisconsin, 3.8 remaining. And the Badgers don't foul. Let this time expire. Win yourselves a heck of a basketball game. Kapanis, the Madison native for Penn State. Trying to find someone to run up the floor, but again, they're down by five. Huge baseball pass, tipped there by Williams. She grabs it, moves it in. They'll let time expire, and the Wisconsin Badgers have done it. Down by 14 at halftime. They complete the comeback, and they upset Penn State 69-64. Hugs all around for these Badgers, and an absolutely special moment that we just witnessed at the Kohl Center. In a day where Sarah Williams gets 9 straight double-doubles, and that is a program record for consecutive games of the double-doubles, Wisconsin defeats 16-7 Penn State, a team that has 7 conference wins, their best season in 10 years. Wisconsin gets outscored 25-12 in the first quarter after Penn State started the game lights out. They battle, they fight, they have a sensational third quarter where they outscore Penn State 24-7, and Wisconsin defeats Penn State 69-64. Absolutely sensational. Varsity is going to play here at the Kohl Center. We'll take a break. Hope to have a coach and a player when we come back. Again, Wisconsin upsets Penn State. You're listening to Badger Basketball from Learfield.
If you've got the right tools and the friendly people at U.S. Bank in your corner, making smarter money choices is a piece of cake. If only our tools and helpful advisors could have helped you avoid some of those not-so-smart choices in life. Like that time you tried to pick up unicycling.
Whoa, coming through!
Or when you thought it'd be okay to pet that squirrel in the park.
Good squirrel.
Shh. While we can't help you with all that, we can help you bank smartly at usbank.com/smartertogether. Member FDIC.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
At Progressive, we love sports and saving you money, so we bundled them together.
It's 40 love here in the third set.
And there's the bell. She's coming off the bench hot, looking for a quick knockdown. But wait, she's driving to the hoop. Oh, down goes the champ.
Now that's another double fault. She'll be shooting too.
The serve is up. And here comes the left hook. She's bundled her home and auto insurance with Progressive. Swish, ace, savings, TKO.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Children are the greatest joy and our best hope for a better future. Friends, they are the future. But did you know that millions of kids right here in our own backyard are facing hunger every day? Without healthy food, it's harder to grow, to thrive, to feel their best.
The impact when children don't have enough to eat is tremendous, because when you're hungry and your basic needs aren't being met, you cannot learn.
Every child deserves to be fed. This is a problem we know how to solve. Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Breakfast in the classroom contributes to kids being more focused, which leads to higher grades, and simply just their well-being.
Thank you!
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at helpnokidhungry.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the high school musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on locally grown radio WFHR and on the Civic Media app.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Luke Mathers, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd. I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance. I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Emergency medical unit response. On to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
The morning show on WFHR, it's Cutting Edge.
So they have up on their sign, due to unforeseen circumcisions, the dining room will be closed this evening. Sorry for the inconvenience. What happened?
Oh, dear.
Employees are getting hazard pay. When did Pizza Hut have meat cutters?
Oh, wow.
That we got to walk away from the mic on that
Yeah,
one.
That one. That's a little late night there, Melissa.
That would hit close to home.
Yeah,
that
getting a little salty.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, only on Locally Grown Radio.
Not all people are the same. And yet, when we visit the doctor, our treatments don't look that different. Why is that? Because we just don't have enough information to do it better. By gathering health data from 1 million people, our country's best researchers will be able to develop treatments that are as unique and complex as we are. With this new information, doctors will have a better understanding of disease so they can innovate the next great breakthroughs in medicine. Learn more at joinallofus.org.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk, a message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Matt LePay. You're listening to Wisconsin Badgers Women's Basketball on WFHR, locally grown radio, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM, a Civic Media station. Download our free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Listen to Wisconsin Athletics all season long on your local Civic Media radio station.
Be there for every second to show your support head to toe in Wisconsin red and white. Shields has partnered with the Wisconsin Badgers to provide your favorite fan gear. So visit Shields in-store or online to start every game with a slam dunk. Shields, proud partner of Wisconsin athletics and basketball fans everywhere.
What does it mean to be locally owned and operated? For Cenex, it means everything. It means that we know if you take your coffee to go or if you like to stay a while. It means we've helped little leagues get jerseys and local festivals get funding. It means we know what our communities need. So you'll always leave Cenex with a full tank, full of snacks, or full of smiles. Or all of the above. And that means the world to us. Cenex, powered locally.
Oak Park Place is a proud sponsor of Badger Athletics. While players need peace of mind to succeed in their sport, seniors and their families find peace of mind at Oak Park Place through the right balance of care and independence. Hi, this is Pat Richter for Oak Park Place. Choose a senior living community with neighbors that become like family. Enjoy the comforts of your apartment with an abundance of events just outside your door. Visit oakparkplace.com to learn more. Oak Park Place is a proud sponsor of Badger Athletics.
SeatGeek's the ticketing app for fans like the sideline shot caller.
Come on, boys, pick up the pace!
SeatGeek got him a great deal on seats right near the action, so when he yells,
"What are you doing? Block him!"
he can be absolutely sure the players heard him. SeatGeek handles the tickets to sports, concerts, and more, so fans can fan.
Wisconsin 69, Penn State 64. Sports is crazy. And That's why you play the games. Absolutely amazing. As Wisconsin, again, an amazing second half, especially third quarter, outscoring Penn State 24-7. And the Badgers get just enough in the fourth quarter. They outscored Penn State 19-17. So you win by three, you outscore, or win by five, you outscore the other team by two. But what an amazing third quarter it was. Let's look at the total team statistics. And again, the first quarter compared to the way it finished. And that's the thing. It's not always how you start. It's how you finish. And if you keep grinding at it, it's amazing what can end up happening. Wisconsin finishes the game 45% from the field, 25 of 56. Penn State, they go 38% from the field, 23 of 60. They started this game off red hot, 6 of 6, 7 for 7. But Wisconsin defensively, give the Badgers credit. It wasn't just Penn State missing shots. It was what Wisconsin was doing defensively that was really taking away some of their better shooters. But also look at Penn State, and I think when they go back and watch the film, they'll be a little surprised that they didn't put the ball in the hands of some of their better scorers. They got a little bit shell-shocked with the start of the third quarter. They had a bad end of the second quarter, and then they carried that into the third quarter, and they were totally out of sync with getting some of their better players better shots. They came out in the first quarter very much getting their best players good shots. They did not do that in the second half, and it was rather strange to watch, but Wisconsin also did some great things defensively. The Badgers, 5 of 15 from three-point land. That's 33%. Penn State, 8 of 28, so they finish at 29%. Free throws, 56% for Penn State, 10 of 18. That's a number you circle. Wisconsin, 74%, 14 of 19. Wisconsin committed 22 turnovers today. Penn State had 20 points off those turnovers. However, Penn State committed 21 turnovers. Wisconsin had 19 points off turnovers. So in a game where if you'd have came in and said, hey, Wisconsin, you're going to turn the ball over 22 times, you'd have been concerned. But because Penn State did 21 times, that statistic really, it gets wiped out. There was no disadvantage that Wisconsin felt in that area. The Badgers, 38 total rebounds to Penn State's 33. Wisconsin, 29 of those defensive, 9 offensive. Penn State, 22 defensive rebounds. Penn State with 11 offensive rebounds. Wisconsin, 13 second-chance points, 17 bench points, and 30 points in the paint. Now, for Penn State, they had 8 second-chance points, so Wisconsin plus 5 there. Bench points, Wisconsin plus 12. 5 bench points is all that Penn State had. Now, Penn State averages 27 bench points per game, which leads the conference. Today, they had 5. So Wisconsin was 17, totally turning the tables on the Nittany Lions, and they had 20 points in the paint to Wisconsin's 30. 27 fast break points for Penn State. Wisconsin had 14 again. With the way Penn State runs, you're going to give up fast break points. It's part of it. Wisconsin, 13 steals, 15 assists, and Penn State, 12 steals and 9 assists. We had 2 ties in this game, and we had 3 lead changes. Penn State led for the first 25 minutes. Wisconsin then led for the final 13 minutes and 48 seconds. So, again, it's not always how you start. It's how you finish. Wisconsin finished the game, though, only 2 of 10 from the field. So I say it's how you finished. I'm talking defensive, too, because the offense did struggle there towards the end of the fourth quarter. But Wisconsin got just enough, and they made their free throws, and they defeat Penn State 69-64. We'll take another break. We'll look at individual numbers when we come back. We'll also have the highlights. You're listening to Wisconsin Basketball from Learfield.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name? You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Post-game show continues. Wisconsin defeats Penn State 69-64. What a comeback and what a potentially, you know, defining win for this program. Penn State having their best season in 10 years. And for Wisconsin, they get their fourth conference win. So they're now 4-8 and 11-11 overall. Penn State drops to 7-6 in the Big Ten and 16-8 on the year. Let's look at individual numbers. We'll look first quickly at Penn State. Owusu doing the things that she normally does. 24 points, 11 of 21 from the field, 1 for 4 shooting threes, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Didn't foul at all. Did have 6 turnovers, though, in 31 minutes. Wisconsin, you just try to slow her down, and the turnovers are part of that. So she finishes with a team-high 24 points. Shea Chesky, 18 points. She goes 5 of 10 from 3, but most of those coming in the first half. Why they didn't get her more three-point opportunities in the second half, we'll probably never know. I think they'd potentially like to have that back. Leonis Kapanis, the Madison native, 11 points in her return to Madison. Played at Memorial in high school, 4 of 9 from the field. And then 18, and then otherwise it was anyone else in low single digits. So that's your totals for Penn State. Wisconsin, Sarah Williams. We already said it. Let's do it again. It's worth repeating. 31 points, 11 of 15 from the field. That's efficient. Made her only 3 she took. She also had a long 2 with a foot on the line, so she was almost 2 for 2 for those threes. 8 of 9 from the free throw line. 15 rebounds, 1 assist. Only 1 foul, had 4 turnovers in 30 minutes, 9 straight double-doubles now. That is a program record for the double-double streak. 41 years to the day after Teresa Huff set the original mark is the day that Williams now stands alone in the record books. 31 for Williams. Incredibly, no one else was in double digits. Now, we're close. Hallie Douglas had 8 points, 3 of 3 from the field. Porter had 8 points. That was 3 of 13 shooting, though. 5 assists for Ronnie Porter, a couple rebounds in there. 7 points for Leitzinger, 6 points for Copeland, 4 for Schrammick, and then 3 points for Tessa Grady, hit a 3, and 2 points for Dennis Jimenez. So that all adds up to a 69-64 final score as Wisconsin has a great second half, and they get the job done. We'll take one more break. When we come back, we'll give you the highlights. We'll also tell you about other scores from around the Big Ten and get you ready for Wisconsin's next game coming up this coming week. Again, the Badgers win by 5. You're listening to Badger Basketball from Learfield.
What does it mean to be locally owned and operated? For Cenex, it means everything. It means that we know if you take your coffee to go or if you like to stay a while. It means we've helped little leagues get jerseys and local festivals get funding. It means we know what our communities need. So you'll always leave Cenex with a full tank, full of snacks, or full of smiles. Or all of the above. And that means the world to us. Cenex, powered locally.
At Shields, we know the basketball season is a full-court press from tip-off to final buzzer. Each game presents an opportunity to see your Badgers take the court and compete for the win. So be there for every second to show your support head-to-toe in Wisconsin red and white. Shields has partnered with the Wisconsin Badgers to provide your favorite fan gear. So visit Shields in-store or online to start every game with a slam dunk. Shields, proud partner of Wisconsin athletics and basketball fans everywhere.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger,
or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way, you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Leitzinger into the forecourt. Now bounce pass down low. Good feed and a nice find and off the glass. There's going to go Leitzinger to Williams. And that gives the Badger crowd some life. 15-6 now, Wisconsin. Porter passes up a three. There is Douglas straight on for the three and straight in. Allie Douglas, 2 for 2 from downtown in this one. The ball crowd trying to give this team some energy now. Wisconsin, 1 for their last 8 shooting. They've gone cold. Cross-court pass. Oh, a great backdoor pass. Missed it by Copeland, but Williams cleans it up. Gets fouled, and it goes in. She yells, come on to her team. And Williams, a chance for the traditional three-point play. Potentially some fatigue setting in for them now. Here's a three-pointer by Douglas, and it's in. And Allie Douglas with the triple. And just like that, Wisconsin is within. Another turnover called on Penn State. Back the other way, Wisconsin Leitzinger. Nice find down low for Williams, and Coach Keeger for Penn State has seen enough. Douglas grabs the Badger rebound. Under 3 to go, first half. Wisconsin down 38-21. Up ahead for Copeland, left corner. There's a 3 for Grady, and she splashes. Porter now for Wisconsin, coast to coast. Ronnie Porter goes up on the right side, split through everybody, knifed her way through some Lady Lions. And a good answer there for Ronnie Porter. 33-21, Penn State. Out of bounds, right baseline, long 2, and that's a little too strong. And the rebound goes to Penn State, and then Copeland's able to take that away. Smart play there for Saniah Copeland. Down by 11 for the Badgers. 4:20 into this one. Up and under move, right block to left block for Natalie Leitzinger. Pretty work there. Wisconsin down by 9, 5.5 to go in a fast-paced first quarter. So at 48-26, Wisconsin was trailing at the half, but again, they outscore Penn State 24-7 in the third quarter and 19-17 in the fourth quarter. So Wisconsin dominates the second half, and they finish off with a 69-64 win, and one that will be talked about for a while here in Madison. One more thing to do, look at other Big Ten scores from around the country, and a stunner as Iowa lost today at unranked Nebraska. Nebraska comes into play today at 7-5 in the Big Ten against second-ranked Iowa, who was 22-2 overall. And Caitlin Clark comes up 8 points shy of the all-time record. She had 31 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists. So she did about everything except she did not score in the fourth quarter. She was held scoreless and missed a shot at the buzzer that would have tied it. Instead, it falls short. And Nebraska stuns Iowa 82-79. Other games that have gone final, 14th-ranked Indiana, 95-62, an easy win at home against Purdue. That will be Wisconsin's next opponent, by the way, on Wednesday. The Badgers will host Indiana. John Audius will be back for the call on that one. Maryland defeats Illinois on the road, 69-53, and one game currently going on, about 1.5 minutes left in the third. 5th-ranked Ohio State having no issues at Michigan State, 75-45. And then one non-Big Ten score. A lot of eyeballs were on number 1 South Carolina taking on 11th-ranked UConn. South Carolina easily defeating the Huskies 83-65. So that's your look at scores around the Big Ten. Again, the Badgers improved to 4-8 in the conference, 11-11 overall. What a special one today was. My thanks to our producer, Mike Henderson, for all his work on this today. This is Reed Magnum from the Kohl Center in Madison. One more time, your final score, Wisconsin 69 and Penn State 64. All of us at the Badger Sports Network thank each of you for listening. This has been Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Wisconsin women's basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond. Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. American Family Insurance, insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, proud casino partners of UW Athletics. And by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
CBS News Brief. Football fans are packing Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, where the Kansas City Chiefs will take on the San Francisco 49ers in about 2 hours.
We want 49ers to win, but Chiefs are going to be very tough to beat. We want Purdy to come and make it big.
Kickoffs at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. The Senate is holding a rare Sunday session to hammer out a $95 billion security bill to get emergency aid to Israel and Ukraine. Maine Republican Susan Collins.
This funding is desperately needed to help Ukraine counter brutal Russian aggression, to assist our closest ally in the Middle East.
This, as Israeli Prime Minister said on Fox News Sunday, that Israel's goal now in Gaza is to root out Hamas fighters near Egypt's border.
We have to maintain coolness of judgment, efforts to secure civilian exit, but at the same time, iron determination to wipe the Hamas terrorist organization off the face of this earth.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Marquette with another win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In college basketball, Marquette beat St. John's 86-75. The Golden Eagles have now won 7 in a row. Another shocking loss for Wisconsin, this time to Rutgers, who beat them by 22 points, 78-56. Great defense by the Scarlet Knights. The Badgers now with a 4-game losing streak. I'm in Las Vegas covering Super Bowl 58, where the 49ers are looking to win the Lombardi Trophy for the first time since 1994. Quarterback Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant in the draft, says,
"It's sort of been like the story of my life, you know, sort of being overlooked, you know, throughout high school, not a high recruit or anything, and life sort of repeated itself. I got drafted last."
Chiefs trying to make it back-to-back championships. Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I think just the opportunity to have a back-to-back championship. I mean, I got close a couple years ago and fell short. So just being able to be back on this stage and just having that opportunity and trying to make sure that we maximize that moment.
That's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. From Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 22, mostly sunny and upper 30s on Monday. For Monday night, partly cloudy, 21. Tuesday, mostly sunny, a high around 35. For Wednesday, we'll have partly sunny skies and highs in the upper 30s to near 40 degrees.
Right now, it's 37.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
You look at Taylor Swift, she fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You are listening to the Civic Media Spotlight, where we recap segments from around the Civic Media Radio Network this past week. Up next, we head to Wausau and the Chad Holmes Show. Chad was joined by Yi Leng Zong of the Hmong American Center and a member of local government in Marathon County for a conversation about what's going on in the community. To hear the entire interview, you can check out the podcast for the Chad Holmes Show on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, or wherever you find your podcasts.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:35. Currently, overcast skies, 33 degrees is the temperature here in downtown Wausau. And very happy to welcome Yi Leng Zong, Hmong American Center, D.C. Everett School Board, Marathon County Board, back to our program. But welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Chad.
There's a lot to talk about. And I was just saying to you before we started that one reason that I'm very impressed with what you've been able to do within our community is that our whole radio organization, we got stations around the state of Wisconsin, and our owner, Sage Weil, believes so much in democracy. And the only way democracy works is if people get involved and people are engaged, whether it is through elected office or whether through organizations or whether just being a citizen that's involved. And yourself, you have these different hats that you wear. And I was saying that you have the school board, where the focus number one is, of course, great education for the kids, trying to make them the best citizens they can be as they go into their lives. Then you got the county board, which, of course, has all the issues around Marathon County, and the Hmong American Center as well. Is it a part of a master plan of yours, or is it something that just, hey, here's an opportunity to be involved, I want to be involved?
Yeah, thank you, Chad. You know, as you mentioned here, one of the things I value the most is community involvement, community service, and being an individual who gives back to our community, especially to the home that's been able to give us so much things as well, to making us making the American dream possible for me and my family as well too. So this is one way that I've been able to give back to my family by mentoring, by serving DC School Board, giving back to our kids, to our children, to our students, the future leaders of the community here, serving on the county board, being a advocate for rural America or rural Wisconsin, serving our farmers, and then in my role as a executive director at a nonprofit here, I'm stretching every dollar that I can here, but at the same time making as much impact as possible to our underserved community or the Southeast Asian community, specifically the Hmong community here, by finding other, you know, revenues, other income streams to bring back to Central Wisconsin here and serving the low income community here. And I'm just so thrilled to be able to make an impact in the way that I am. Although I've never done this for awards or recognition, I've done this because I truly, sincerely love our community.
It truly is, I think, an example of true democracy in action, because the system doesn't work unless we are truly involved. So I absolutely, wonderful aspects to your life and career up to this point. Let's start off with the Hmong American Center. I wanted to kind of not assume that people, you know, knew what the Hmong American Center is. Maybe there's listeners out there that have not been familiar. Executive Director, could you talk a little bit about what the Hmong American Center is, what its goals are, and some of the activities you're involved with?
Yeah, so the Hmong American Center was originally established to help the Southeast Asian community, assimilate into the community here. Although, you know, the discussion about a melting pot is something that our community always, or America always talks about, we like to look at this more of a salad bowl, you know, because obviously salad's a lot more healthier than anything that's melted, right? But, you know.
Man, so you are always thinking, I tell you.
So the salad bowl here, we want everybody to be kind of part of the whole bowl, you know, that we together, that individually we have our own characteristics, our own uniqueness, but together we serve as a community as a whole. So the Hmong American Center serves in that realm here to provide resources, to provide education and leadership and collaboration to the Southeast Asian community and the community at large, just educating our community and also helping serve the underserved community. We focus on six pillars of services in our community here: economic development, work workforce development, education through cultural cultural preservation through education, equal access to health care, and then we have services for elders and youth, and then we have our community empowerment, which includes direct client services. So direct client services includes housing, includes assistance with energy assistance, immigration, and so much more. It basically is general aid in our community because we fill in that gap, you know, that the other communities are not able to serve. One of the things that I think is very important to note that we love to let the community know about the available resources in our community. So we do have a resource fair that's happening this week, Friday, from 4 to 8 at NTC, which will be a location for community members to be able to come by and be able to learn about the available resources that's in our community here, but also about the Hmong American Center as well. And most importantly here, you know, it was announced earlier this week here, we did receive a large grant as well too from the local food purchasing grant, which will then allow us to purchase food or produce from our vendors, our farmers market, specifically from the Southeast Asian community here, to basically distribute back to community at large. And these food and produce are specifically Southeast Asian catered. So we're so excited about the numerous things that are coming ahead here.
That's very interesting about Friday's event at NTC. And whether you're a member of the Hmong community or a member of any part of the community, there are a lot of things that we don't know about. And I imagine it even takes it to a next step for the Hmong community, because often there could be, you know, barriers in terms of language and just not being as familiar with some of the opportunities. And there's nothing worse than having something that's out there, that's an opportunity that could help people's lives, and that's not knowing about it. So I imagine that part of what you do at the Hmong American Center is just that, letting people know about what is out there in terms of opportunities to get education, whether it's financial benefits, anything out there, correct?
That is definitely correct here. We also actually have seen an increase in not just Southeast Asian individuals coming to the Hmong American Center, but we've seen Hispanic, we've seen our new neighbors, you know. But then we also see General Wazonian as well too, showing up as well too for services and assistance as well too, and we're able to connect them with other resources that exist in this community as well too.
Again, we're talking to Yi Leng Zhang of the Hmong American Center, the Marathon County Board, and the DC Everest School Board here on Bow Falls Radio. I wanted to ask you, because within that group, and when we talk to groups like yourself that are always looking for that next opportunity to get resources in, just so you can take those resources and get them out, and talking a little bit again about the umbrella of democracy, I wanted to ask you, have there been folks, whether elected officials or outside elected officials, that have been especially helpful in terms of what you are trying to accomplish? Because I do think that umbrella of democracy, people working together, unelected, elected, who has helped the Hmong American Center in terms of getting resources, who have done their job, I think, well to service democracy?
Yeah, so I have to say that specifically for the Hmong American Center here, we have definitely seen relationships with the state government definitely been a lot better. You know, we have definitely seen contributions from elected officials like Governor Tony Evers, who specifically reaches out to the Hmong American Center and the Hmong American community, encouraging them to apply for certain grants in our local state departments as well. Mm-hmm. To be very transparent, obviously in the past here, when I came in as the executive director, the Hmong American Center was on the verge of actually closing down. And it was through working in our communities here with our local partners that we were able to sustain the organization. But it wasn't until 2020, where the pandemic occurred, and also 2021, where we were aware of these resources that were available at the state. Mm-hmm. And when we were aware of them, we began to apply for those services and continue to giving back. And one thing that's very important is that throughout the entire state of Wisconsin, any area where there was a Hmong association that received funding from the state government, local government, etc., we saw that there was an increase in services towards Southeast Asian community, and Southeast Asian communities were actually being served as well too. So we're just very proud of the amazing things that our organizations are able to do because of funding and support from our local funders, state funders, and we're looking forward to continue working with our federal funders to do that as well.
You mentioned other organizations around the state. Do you work a lot with other areas? areas of the state? And maybe just for my education, for others, what other areas of the state have significant Hmong and Southeast Asian communities?
Yeah, so that's a phenomenal question here. So Milwaukee has the most largest population of Southeast Asians or Hmong individuals in the state of Wisconsin here. Wausau is probably in the top three or top two. Madison has a large population. The Fox City has a large population. Eau Claire does as well. But, you know, Wausau, we beat them all per capita. Mm. So we are we have the largest Hmong population per capita in the country here, from my recollection.
In terms of Wausau, in terms of the Hmong community, do you feel like, I know we got a mayoral election coming up, is the Hmong community listened enough by our local officials?
I think it could always be better. You know, I think our elected officials locally knows that the Southeast Asian community, the Hmong community, is a is the margin of victory locally, statewide as well too. Mm-hmm. Obviously we know that in the previous years, with whether it was the presidential election or governor election, they won by 1% or less than 1%, and the Hmong population makes up about 58,000 of the state of Wisconsin here. So they are a population that definitely has a huge margin of victory, and I think locally our elected officials are attempting or trying to get to know that, because I get outreaches from the many elected officials in the local area here to meet with the Hmong community. Obviously, I don't do that in the role of my executive director functions, but I do that on my personal role here, trying to get community members connected as well too. And it's not just about being Democrat, Republican, but it's about working together to make sure that people are being practical, making sure that making sure that things are happening, results are being delivered, and making sure that everybody gets served as well.
Something else I've noticed over the years, we run a Hmong language radio program on Sunday mornings here on this radio station, and from time to time we'll get calls about being on that show in terms of advertising, because there's an economic power now within the Hmong community, isn't there, that people are noticing?
Yes, there definitely is. I was fortunate to attend a conference or symposium, back in October, and they were talking about the buying power in Minnesota. They talked about how it used to be, I believe it was $600 million. Now it's over $2 billion because of the economic and the power, the economic strength, and also the influence that the Southeast Asian community have. We're still trying to gather those influences locally, but I would assume that ours has definitely increased from what it was before as well. But one thing I do have to note is that for the first time in history, the Hmong community's medium household income surpasses the state's average by $10,000 in the state of Wisconsin here as well, too.
What's been the key to that?
Yeah.
Obviously, whenever, no matter what immigrant group comes into our country, it takes time to build from the family unit to the community itself. What's been the key to that? Because that's a very, very interesting number.
Yeah, so I definitely think it has to do with education. Education and also and chasing the entrepreneurial spirit, the American dream. But I think the key to that and the foundation that made this really happen was basically the tenacity and grit of our elders and our parents who built this foundation on. They sacrificed their entire life to make sure that the individuals like myself, the new future generations, are able to build upon it. And they sacrificed going to school to make sure that we're fed so that all of us can go into an education and learn and become successful individuals. So they are the reason why we are successful, because they continue to maintain that steady platform for us to stand on.
Is the Hmong American Center also, you talk about, I think, community. Is it looked at as a place where community is able to continue to be embraced within the Hmong tradition?
Yes. So one of the things we do is we have a huge focus on education, cultural preservation through education. And we do this through efforts like the From Laos to America Museum, where members of the Southeast Asian community can come back and learn about their heritage. But not only that, we also facilitate serve as an area where communities can come and facilitate discussions, dialogues. And we have seen our local clans utilize our space here. Our elders use our space here, the Hmong professionals using our space there, and youth as well too, using our location as well. And we're fortunate to be that organization or that focal point for our community.
We have to go away for about a minute. We're going to come back, maybe talk about the other hats and the issues that you're working on with the county board and also the DC Everest School Board. So we'll come back in about 60 seconds and talk more with Yi Leng Zhang here as we continue on this Wednesday morning. The time is 8:48. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocate.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We end this hour of the Civic Media Spotlight by heading to Matinair On Air, where Jane and Greg speak with Jeff Green, the CEO of Wisconsin Battery Corp.
Good morning, and welcome to Matinair On Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board. Very happy to be joined by our guest. He is the CEO of the Wisconsin Battery Company, a company owned by Sustainable Communities Corporation, and they're coming to Portage with plans to make batteries, but this time out of hemp. So, Jeff, You did mention that it's a union shop. It's going to stay a union shop. How many jobs? Right. How many jobs are we talking about ultimately, do you think?
So I think we're going to start up with probably around 50 to 100 in each Fenimore and Portage, if we are able to accomplish that. And then over the next 5 years, we're expecting to ramp up at about 100 a year. So we expect 500 to 600 over the next 6 years.
That's great. These are family sustaining jobs. I think it's really important for people to recognize that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously technology is moving forward. And so we're trying to stay with the times of making sure that Wisconsin stays a battery state. I mean, the Wisconsin's been a battery state since batteries were created.
I did not know that we had a long history.
Beyond the cheese.
Beyond the cheese. Back. we're always trying to highlight things in Wisconsin that aren't just dairy products.
Yeah.
I did not know that we had such a long history of batteries in Wisconsin.
And some of the most prolific battery scientists in the world are in Milwaukee.
So we got two questions on our text messaging line, and I want to ask them both. They're kind of this, they're in the same category. One, hemp batteries, are they recyclable? And also, are there any rare earth metals needed to produce hemp batteries?
So we are finalizing our bill of items on all of our batteries right now. So whether or not there's any, you know, sodium, I guess technically is a, you know, is one, but sodium is so massively present right now. It's not anything that we're worried about. But we're trying to eliminate, you know, lithium. We're trying to eliminate graphene. We're trying to eliminate the things that are problematic.
Well, and again, as you mentioned, so, unfortunately, those mines tend to be in countries that are not necessarily friendly to the U.S.
Right. And as far as recyclable goes, we're going to try to actually create a lithium-ion recycling plant on the same property. Wow. But right now, you know, Ukraine, I don't know if you know this, but Ukraine was the world leader of fertilizer. And so with the war in Ukraine, fertilizer has actually gone up. I don't know if you've looked at fertilizer lately, but it's doubled in price. And that's not just, you know, Home Depot jacking the price on you. That's Ukraine having some supply chain issues. And so we're looking at ways that we can turn this lithium into fertilizer, because your plants like lithium. And, you know, that's part of the overall big scheme of what we're doing. the outer shell is still going to be metal, and we can recycle that, obviously. But you can recycle anything, but it all has to come down to economics.
Sure. It's got to be cost effective, right?
Right. And Dr. Chu has, our scientist has a method for recycling that prior to Ukraine going into war was not cost effective. Now it is kind of very tightly cost effective, but that's assuming that Ukraine never comes back and becomes, you know, a fertilizer supplier again. And that's not really something that I expect. So I think that it's just a dangerous situation right now that we've got to economically figure out. We want to recycle batteries. That's not, it's certainly within our mission, but making sure that we do it effectively, you know, daycare workers, we're trying to put subsidized daycare in both of our factories as well.
Oh.
Both subsidized daycares and recycling are both non-profitable.
Jeff, that is so wonderful. Subsidized daycare within the facility. And yeah, as you said, it doesn't generate profits. But good heavens, we've been talking about this since 9 to 5 came out with Dolly
good
Parton
reference.
And Jane good Fonda reference. And Lily Tomlin. I mean, that was a intrinsic part of that movie. And yep, it's 2024 and we're still so far away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that important to you to include that, Jeff?
The daycare industry financing fell off a cliff federally over the last year. So what you're finding is, young workers, and you know, we are attempting to bring a pension program back into the market as well. So,
whoa,
but
what
to do a pension, you've got to have a balance of young, middle, and older workers for it to work. And so, being able to hire younger workers early in their family, if they don't have daycare that's affordable. Yeah. They can't work, or only one of them can work. And that's going to be, you know, counterintuitive to what we're trying to accomplish. So we are also putting together a incubator program for our retirees so that if they want to go out and do something afterwards, they can get educated on how to do that as well. So that's, you know, we want to basically have this as a generational business.
Jane, are you hiring? I'll be up there in like 4 hours.
I was trying to find.
I don't even have children.
I was trying to find a keyword that I could just throw at Jeff and make it sound like I actually know what I'm talking about when it comes to batteries. Oh, nano sheets.
Good job, Jane.
You want to talk carbon nano sheets, Jeff? I'm the guy.
My nano sheets have a thread count of.
If someone is listening and they would like to find out more or possibly apply for a job or find out about training opportunities and stuff, Jeff, where should they go?
So our email is work@winbat.co, and that's where anybody that wants to submit a resume should do.
Okay.
Winbat.co is our website. That's going to be drastically overhauled over the next 6 months, but right now at least it's a 4-pager that keeps all of our media in one place, and you can contact us and find out more about what we're doing. The groundbreaking obviously is April 23rd in Portage, and I invite anybody that wants to show up to be there. We're expecting some pretty high profile political people there.
I would imagine so. Everybody's going to want to claim a piece of this.
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm assuming that Portage has been really open to working with you.
Oh, amazingly so. The mayor, as well as the entire council, have been fabulous to work with. We've got a call tomorrow on the industrial revenue bonds. I don't know if you're familiar with that form of financing, but the city has to approve it. And getting a city to approve a industrial revenue bond is not something that just anybody can do. It's something that they have to believe in and want for their city. And obviously, we got unanimous support a couple weeks ago. So,
such exciting news. It's wonderful. And thank you so very much for joining us, Jeff, and explaining a little bit better how this is all going to work. I hope we can have you back on after the groundbreaking.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Jeff Green is the CEO of the Wisconsin Battery Company, coming to Portage and a battery near you. News is coming up next.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon.
To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly.